Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden touting his administration's accomplishments and outlining goals for the future during his election year State of the Union address.
Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024.
That was one of the issues he touched on, the Republican response delivered by Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader.
During his speech, the president confirmed plans for building a temporary port off Gaza's coast to get more food aid delivered to the war zone. Outrage in Uvalde, Texas, as a new report finds no laws were broken when police took 77 minutes to confront the school shooter. The latest monthly jobs report is due out this morning. Economists expect the economy added just under 200,000 new jobs in February. This is ABC News. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has deployed 750 National Guard troops to patrol New York City's transit system to make people feel safer underground. After some high-profile violent crime in the city's subway system, ABC's Aaron Katursky reports from New York.
NYPD's Chief of Transit Michael Kemper hopes it all reassures riders.
Now they're going to see National Guard members in addition to your cops.
Yep, yep. And look, we welcome, you know, all the help we can get. This is all about public safety.
Despite the increased presence, more violent incidents in the past 24 hours. Police releasing video of the person suspected of hitting a female conductor in the head with a bottle on Wednesday. And overnight, a 53-year-old man was stabbed on a train in the Bronx.
A U.S. Army soldier and intelligence analyst is accused of selling national security information to China. Army Sergeant Corbin Schultz was arrested Thursday at Fort Campbell. U.S. attorneys say Schultz had a top-secret security clearance and transported national defense documents and photographs to Hong Kong. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Say it with me, the Bucks in Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's job numbers hit an all-time high in January. The State Department of Workforce Development released their numbers Thursday. Wisconsin's unemployment rate was at 3.2%, below the national unemployment rate of 3.7%. The number of jobs hit historic highs, with over 3 million non-farm jobs and 2.6 million private jobs across the state. DWD Secretary Amy Pachacik says that she expects Wisconsin's economy will continue to break records into 2024. An appellate court says Wisconsin regulators have to develop PFAS restrictions before mandating cleanups. The ruling is a win for businesses in the state. Attorney General Josh Call says he'll appeal the case to the state Supreme Court. Call says having to work with lawmakers will slow down the enforcement of new clean drinking water rules. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers blank Rutgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, with a much-needed win at home. They held on to beat Rutgers 78-66. A.J. Storey had 19 points, but Greg Gard says the key was the return of Kamari McGee and the spark he added after missing 6 weeks with a foot injury.
He brings a toughness to us that we lacked. I always say I need more pit bulls, less poodles. He's a pit bull.
So Wisconsin faces the number 3 Boilermakers Sunday at 12:30 at Purdue. The girls stayed High School basketball tournament continues. The finals tomorrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Baseball, the Brewers with an 8-2 win over the Chicago White Sox in Arizona. Inside the clubhouse, manager Pat Murphy says he's been impressed with the progress of right-handed pitcher Colin Ray.
This kid found himself with the help of Woody and obviously Wade. You know, they've built this friendship that's really special, and to see his confidence grow is just, I mean, it's incredible, man.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 25. Tomorrow, sunny, a little cooler, 41 for a high. Sunday, 47. By Monday, partly cloudy with a high back to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 8th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you up here, up north, live from Lake Wissota, wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, through social media, where you're actually watching the show take place, or on demand by podcast. We're glad to have you along on this Friday. I have a question for you. Did anybody really think Derek Van Orden was going to mature into this office? Wait till you hear what the congressman from the 3rd District did last night to further embarrass his constituents. We're going to talk a lot about the State of the Union today. We'll also get into some of the top stories of the week with our guests. You can join us along the way at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or 855-752-4842, or you can join us through comments on Facebook like Mary does here, where she says good morning, she says happy Friday, and she says it's 40 degrees in Madison, supposed to rain most of the day, but, and then she didn't add anything else, Craig Box. I'm a little concerned.
Oh, no, Mary, where'd she go?
It's supposed to rain all day, but that's it.
Maybe the picture on her Facebook is just like, no, stop eating all the cereal.
She just kind of rain all day, closes her laptop, and slowly walks into Lake Monona.
Well, I've done my work.
Well, I like that Mary now adds that she cannot edit. It's, look, it's not like Twitter. Twitter so badly needs an edit button.
Oh, know? God, but, yeah.
How are you, Mr. Bach?
I'm doing peachy keen. You know, I'm just, I'm really, it's going to be a busy weekend, but I'm looking forward to sleeping in tomorrow and sleeping in on Sunday. That's where I am in life right now.
I was going to say, I think I said it, I set you up the same way last week. If I were to say the name Akeem Woods, what would that, how would you respond?
Well, Pat, how did you, what? I mean, he's only headlining the Laughing Tap this weekend, three shows, one
tonight.
Oh,
that's where I saw it, at thelaughingtap.com, of course. Yes. Yep. Tell us more.
I almost said Akeem Vakil. Because I've got Up North News Radio
coming up, right?
Akeem is a comedian out of New York. He has been on the Late Late Show with James Corden, as well as Comedy Central. He's going to be here in Milwaukee for one show tonight, 7:30. Tickets are on sale, laughingtap.com. And then two shows tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 p.m. But they are selling well. So if you want to get tickets, if you're in the listening area, you want to check out a show, tickets are only $22 online, $25 at the door. That means also no drink minimum, so it's still a very affordable night of entertainment. Akeem is very funny. We've also got another Vic Pandya, who is actually a headliner in his own right from Chicago, but he'll be featuring, and Aaron Morris, who is a Milwaukee native, opening the show as the host. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a great, great one this weekend, so come on by. I can't wait for the day where you and Dr. Kreitlow can come on down and enjoy a night.
Yes. We would like that very much. Yeah. We need to get away for the weekend. That you would have thought maybe like this weekend, since this is her birthday weekend.
Happy birthday, Dr. Kreitlow. 30 never looked so good.
She is she's sleeping in this morning because she, through unforeseen circumstances, has to work over the weekend on her birthday. So, you know, these things happen at work, wherever you work. And so she's being a real trooper, and I appreciate that. She got really good chocolate chip cookies, you know, to start the weekend. So I got that going for me. Both she and her best friend yesterday said they were the best chocolate chip cookies they'd ever had.
I am very intrigued. So, Pat, can you give a very quick overview on how you changed the recipe?
I don't know, because what I was going to say next is I can guarantee you I'll make that same batch like 3 or 4 more times. They won't turn out as good. I don't know.
It was
I don't know what I did.
I think it was the flour. You said you didn't use all-purpose.
I used bread flour instead of all-purpose flour. And it took a lot longer to cook at 375. Yes. And so you kind of have to monitor that.
Yeah.
But to me, the other thing was just that I replace 1 cup of flour with 1 cup of pulverized oatmeal. And it just gives it this really nice texture.
Ooh. Okay.
I know. So I got that going for me. Now, so Saturday night when folks leave the Laughing Tap or whatever you're leaving, just remember, you get to do that spring ahead thing with your clock.
I can't wait.
You lose an hour of sleep, but you also get these nice long days where the sun stays up so nice and late. It's going to be great.
And I'm going to make a small request of my friends, family, countrymen, complete and total strangers, those who listen to the Civic Media app too. You're going to lose an hour of sleep, and that is true, and that it can be a bummer, but it is Sunday, so you can sleep in a little bit more if you need to, and I guess, can you stop whining by Tuesday? Because when people get into, like, a Friday or Saturday the next week, they're like, oh, daylight savings time. Like, if you can't handle this by now, come on.
Funny that you should say that, because I've got the numbers in front of me. I looked up the numbers yesterday. On June 11th, the earliest sunrise is at 5:18 with daylight savings time, which means it actually starts getting light at 4:40 in the morning. If we didn't have daylight savings time, it would start getting light at 3:40 and the sun would come up at 4:18 a.m. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No. And instead, we get a sunset at 8:56, not 7:56. It's just better. Just move us an hour ahead and leave us there. It's not that we don't want daylight savings time. We just don't want the twice a year moving the clocks.
Yeah, it's not necessary. It's a bygone thing from Germany. We don't need it anymore.
Yes.
We don't.
We do not. We do not. So, but just remember to do that this weekend as well. Kiev Akil, as we mentioned, is coming up at 6:30. We'll have Mark Jacob at 7:30, Dan Schumacher to wrap things up here as well. We'll get into a little bit of the State of the Union during this half hour. I'm going to cover a couple of other matters first before we get into it here. For example, the state Senate is going to be wrapping up the legislative session. I know a week or two ago we talked about the legislature taking, you know, basically a 9 to 10 month paid vacation. Well, that was the assembly. They just went ahead and wrapped things up. The Senate has one more floor session scheduled, and it's actually next Tuesday. And it looks like they're going to take care of all their business by then and be done. I know a Senate committee yesterday was supposed to engage in a little transphobia before wrapping up the session by advancing a bill that would make it illegal for trans students to compete on certain sports teams. It's a bill that passed the assembly on a party line vote in October. The governor, of course, is likely to veto it. Let's see. Tammy Baldwin announced that the Federal Highway Administration is ending an outdated 40-year waiver that allowed the federal government to skirt Buy America rules when it comes to constructing highways. And the senator's been pushing for that for years and years. And so by having stronger Buy America standards, that's going to support American manufacturing. We're going to do some sports here at 6:14, just to mention that the Badger basketball team, the men's team, beat Rutgers in their final home game of the season last night, 78-66. The Badgers finished 14-3 at home. And they are now in a three-way tie in the Big Ten with Nebraska and Northwestern with one game left to play. And the Badgers have the tiebreaker over both of those teams. The Badgers will close out the regular season on Sunday on the road against Purdue. The game will start at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. And then the Big Ten tournament will begin Wednesday at the Target Center in Minneapolis. It is at said Target Center where the women's Big Ten basketball tournament is going on already, and the Badger women wrapped up their season with a loss last night to Penn State, so the Badger women finished their season 13-16. The Marquette men's basketball team closes out the regular season at Xavier tomorrow afternoon. Then the Big East Conference tournament will be at Madison Square Garden with a quarterfinal game next Thursday. The Marquette women's basketball team faces Villanova tomorrow afternoon in the Big East tournament. Marquette finished the regular season tied for third in the conference with a record of 11-7. The Badger men's hockey team will host Ohio State this weekend in the first round of the Big Ten tournament with games at 7 p.m. tonight, 6 p.m. tomorrow, and if necessary, 5 p.m. on Sunday. The Badger women's hockey team is in the Final Four of the WCHA tournament, and they kick off their action sometime later on this afternoon. So that's a little look at sports. And you know what else I didn't hit yesterday? Yesterday marked 3 weeks until opening day. So we're down to 20 days until that Thursday, March 28th opener in New York against the Mets. And then it's followed by the home opener on Tuesday, April 2nd, which is also Election Day, the home opener versus the Minnesota Twins.
Really want to go to opening day this year for various reasons.
For various reasons?
Well, one, I love baseball. Two, I'm just happy we're not playing the Cubs in the home opener. I couldn't do that.
No.
I don't. And it has very little to do with Craig Counsell. It just has to do with the fact that home opener against the Cubs just feels like we're no thank you. And I'm trying to get Civic Media involved. I want us to be there, so we'll see what happens.
Of course. Yeah, I think if you can, you've got, you know, just about 3 weeks to figure that out, so yep. You know, you have a mission. All right, let's tell you a little bit of what you'll find on Up North News. We've got a daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. On our website, some of the cheapest flights that you can book right now out of Wisconsin's largest airport. If you missed it earlier, you can watch the video that Selena Heller put together of kids answering her question, "What is love?" None of them respond with "Baby, don't hurt me." And places where you can celebrate the upcoming Pi Day, which I'm sure we're going to talk about next week on March 14th, would be Pi Day. And on our social media feeds, the videos that for some reason you're not seeing on network newscasts, the ones that like to play up all the Biden missteps, sure seem to be missing all the times that Donald Trump still thinks he's running against Barack Obama. So you'll find those videos there. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com or search for Up North News WI on social media. And there's one podcast from Courier Newsroom I want to make sure you know about. It's the Vibes Only podcast with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. They talk to digital strategist Annie Wu, who works on TikTok content for progressive candidates and groups. They'll review some of the big stories of the past week, including the Republican Party coming out of Super Tuesday, allowing its Trump tumor to further metastasize. So go to couriernewsroom.com for more, or go wherever you get your podcasts, which include this show. You can also sign up for this show as a podcast and listen on demand. Yes, Roger, I too grew up in an era, he writes on Facebook, where a lot of local AM stations signed off at sunset, which was really nice at 8:45. But what I'll really remember are those early sign-ons. Waking up the cows. So whether you're waking up the cows or whatever you're doing on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Lake Air, 1260 AM, 107.5 FM, WLAK.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Yeah, this is the anniversary of the birth of Alan Hale Jr. He was born this day in 1921, passed away in 1990. He had more than 200 TV and film roles, more than 200 roles, but he's always going to be best known as Captain Jonas Grumby. Actually, you knew him better as Skipper on Gilligan's Island, born this day in 1921.
Did you ever see a movie called Johnny Dangerously with Michael Keaton?
Oh, if I did see, I mean, that was 1983, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really early.
Maybe 84?
It's a parody. It's a gangster parody movie. The only reason why I bring it up is because Alan Hale Jr. has a small role in it as he plays like a dispatch cop with a heavy Irish accent. Just, oh, calling all cars, calling all cars. It's just so funny because he's just so funny.
And that whole generation, if you will, kind of like the first generation of big TV stars, you know, we saw this in all, you know, the Partridge Family, all the child stars, the typecasting that, yeah. You know, he and Bob Denver and they couldn't find work anyplace.
Nope.
Because, well, you're the skipper, you know, and yeah. It really was hard for a while. But now I think we've all come to expect, like, you're allowed to do other things.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
just going to be this one role.
Yeah. Nowadays, you know, actors do like 2-3 TV shows a year.
Yeah. And that's good, and I'm glad. Going through the last segment, you know, you had that in the back of your head going, what am I forgetting? We didn't do temperatures. So we see if you're watching on Facebook why they've been sitting there all that time on screen waiting for somebody to go, hey, Pat, read me. It's 33 up here in Chippewa Falls right now. Hayward is at 24. Park Falls, 28. Wausau, 36. Quite a range here. Green Bay, 39. La Crosse, 39. Wisconsin Rapids, 36 degrees right now. Oshkosh is at 39, Madison 41, and Waukesha is at 37. All right. I know that the FCC, Greg will tell me if I'm wrong. I know the FCC is good with, you know, the word jackass. You're not going to get bleeped for that. But I think there might be a limit on how many times you can say it, so I wanted to get it out of my system the one time as we talk about Derek Van Orden and the State of the Union address, because that's where we've got to start. I'm reading through the coverage early this morning of President Biden's State of the Union address. And at one point, there's something about, you know, a heckler. And I even listened to the clip the one time and I'm like, oh, God, who's that jerk? You know, have we not risen above this yet? And no, some Republicans clearly haven't. And then I read later on from Manu Raju, CNN correspondent, it was Derek Van Orden who was yelling something. Let's give a listen. The president's just giving a speech talking about the difference between him and former President Trump in how they handled the COVID epidemic. And here's what the president said, and you'll hear Derek Van Orden screaming in the background.
A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable.
And the president's right. It is. It's unforgivable. The lack of compassion, the lack of any sense of urgency from the former president, you know, saying, well, why don't we just stick a light down ourselves, drink bleach or inject other things? I mean, he did nobody any favors. God only can tell us how many people died because of how Trump handled things. And that was where Derek Van Orden decided he was going to be a jackass, was right there to defend Donald Trump, which really tells you the measure of the man right there. Back to the speech itself, childish interruptions notwithstanding, the president delivered a defiant argument for a second term, ripping into Trump, not by name, but talking about his predecessor more than a dozen times, Biden didn't shy away from his age, you know, noting that it's given him experience to value the things about this country that other people might take for granted. He, remember, was the one who said that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was a big deal. He said it again yesterday and made sure to let people know that, you know, he is going to continue to fight for more affordable prescription drugs and other lower health care costs.
Over 100 million of you can no longer be denied health insurance because of pre-existing condition. But my predecessor and many in this chamber want to take this prescription drug away by repealing the Affordable Care Act. I'm not going to let that happen. We stopped you 50 times before and we'll stop you again. In fact, I'm not only protecting it, I'm expanding it.
So you saw the president made health care and reproductive health care choice a centerpiece of the State of the Union. There was one, there were other new ideas, but one that I thought was especially noteworthy would address the crisis of affordable housing and try to help people afford a first home or a second home. Give a listen.
Benefit millions of lives all across America. I know the cost of housing is so important to you. If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well, and the Fed acknowledges that. But I'm not waiting. I want to provide an annual tax credit that will give Americans $400 a month for the next 2 years as mortgage rates come down, to put toward their mortgages when they buy their first home or trade up for a little more space.
And I think that's the important part there was you'll get that credit if you're selling your starter home to try to move up to, you know, a home that gives you a little more space, because it doesn't give it doesn't do any good to give people credit to buy their first home if the supply of housing is still as low as it is. You need to encourage people, you know, and get them out of the rut where they want to expand, but they can't. And so the president is looking to expand the affordable housing credit there. He, of course, could not resist taking on Republicans who worked with Democrats to craft a strong bipartisan border security and immigration bill, only to then kill their own bill because Donald Trump told them to, and yet they had the audacity to try to boo the president when he brought it up. Give a listen.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
And let's close with where the president started to close things up. Again, talking about his age, but how it's taught him to value what's really important in this country.
Let me close with this. Yeah. I know you don't want to hear any more, Lindsay, but I got to say a few more things. I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation, between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future.
And that's where the president made things very clear, is that there is a sharp contrast, and that there's one person, and it happens to be the older candidate, who's more in touch with making sure that the next generation has a brighter future rather than trash-talking America and using heckling and booing and T-shirts and division. That's not a way to run a country. President Biden showed how to do it right. It may seem old-fashioned, but it's also the way to build.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I don't think there's a dairy farmer in Wisconsin very happy with the way the milk price stands today. What kinds of measures should you be taking to protect yourself? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in the markets, at least so far for the morning. Matt Trattle, broker analyst with EverAg in Platteville, is keeping an eye on all opportunities. He said, number one, dairy farms need to be signing up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program available through your county farm service agency office. We already know there's a guaranteed pay in January, and he says likely another check coming for February milk deficiencies. So is there a region of the United States where dairy producers are doing better? Trattle comments.
I think a lot of the regions, such as maybe the Northeast, would probably be the healthiest. They do have some Class 4 exposure in their milk check, and Class 4 prices are performing pretty well. I would say that the upper Northeast is probably your most profitable. The Southwest is certainly not performing well. That's where all the cows are leaving. But the Midwest is certainly struggling.
Matt Trattle, he's a broker analyst with EverAg out of Platteville. Now, remember, the Dairy Margin Coverage Program is open now for dairy farmer enrollment. They'll continue to take applications at your county farm service agency office until the end of April. Markets are firm in overnight electronic trade. Numbers are next.
One of the biggest logistical challenges for many farmers often occurs on the roads just outside their farms. Wisconsin farmers help feed the world. They need to have reliable roads to get food from the farm to the market. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to fix the posted roads that have been holding you back. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese took an 8-cent dive to 154.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter at 149.25. AA butter down 8.25, 276.75. April Class 3 milk this morning's up 8, 15.99 a hundredweight. December corn is unchanged, 4.69. November beans are up 4 at 11.57. And July wheat, 3.5 cents higher at 5.43 a bushel. There's a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It is going to be cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 25. Tomorrow, sunny, a little cooler, 41 for a high. Sunday, 47. By Monday, partly cloudy with a high back to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
¶¶
We're back now on this Friday morning with Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Kia, how are you?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Still on the mend, but getting there. Certainly getting there. Hey, a State of the Union address. There's still so many people who are not going to sit through an hour-long speech, and so we're not going to go through an hour-long speech here. But we're going to hit on some of the themes that the president hit, because he's got to reach people that, frankly, we try to reach at Up North News and Courier Newsroom. We try to reach out to people who are not typical news consumers and put stories in their social media feeds that, you know, we think will interest them and educate them about things on the news. So Biden's surely going to be, you know, making his case well beyond the State of the Union. What, based on what, in terms of, you know, accomplishments and reasons to vote for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple key buckets that are going to become bigger and bigger focuses and issues this year. One of those is, you know, the economy and addressing costs and trying to lower costs. And that's on everything from housing, which he talked a little bit about during the State of the Union, new housing plans. Also about trying to lower drug costs, which he has accomplished a little bit with the Inflation Reduction Act, but, you know, trying to expand and protect some of those provisions. You know, making sure that there was some talk of new tax proposals and continuing to pressure Congress to, you know, actually tax corporations fairly and the super rich fairly. Talked about protecting Social Security and Medicare, which is obviously a huge economic issue. So that's one bucket. I would say another bucket, you know, I'd put under the concept of protecting, you know, freedoms and rights. Obviously, we have a growing threat on the right, targeting things like abortion rights, contraception, in some places, IVF. At the same time that they, you know, are really have cracked down on voting rights since the 2020 election. And so those are things that the president, you know, has talked about, did talk about, and will continue to talk about. And, you know, I think those are the two big buckets, you know, in terms of, you know, domestic policies that we'll continue to see be a focus.
I think the thing, Kia, that I feel Biden can do more so than almost any other incumbent president in our lifetimes is, you know, there was once upon a time, it seems like ancient history now, people would say, oh, I can't tell the difference between the parties. I, you know, it doesn't matter who I vote for, whether it's abortion, gun safety, taxes, the border. The one thing he's got working in his favor, it seems, is that he can draw a stark contrast, I think, like no other incumbent president running for re-election.
Yeah, I mean, I think the not only are the two parties, you know, night and day from each other at this point, but, you know, he and Trump are just could not be more different in terms of their policy agendas on virtually every single issue. Not everyone, but the vast majority. You know, economically, Trump gave a tax cut to corporations and the super rich, and pretty much that was all he did in 4 years. Biden has, you know, provided has lowered costs on prescription drugs and healthcare, created a whole swath of clean energy credits and incentives to boost, you know, manufacturing and jobs and make it easier for folks to buy clean energy products. There's obviously been the infrastructure law, the American Rescue Plan. It's night and day on things like, you know, abortion and democracy, again, night and day. And, you know, we see a really like just absolutely unhinged threat on the right. You know, folks who want to deport every undocumented immigrant in the country, even if they've been in, you know, here for decades and pay taxes and work jobs. They want to, you know, target contraception using a 150-year-old law. They want to crack down on voting rights. It's just like there could not be a bigger difference between, you know, the two parties and their candidates right now.
No, really. And look, for all those big issues, I know that for a lot of voters, it is still, you know, to borrow the old James Carville thing, it's the economy, stupid. And Biden certainly seems to realize that. I think we talked briefly that they were looking at capping credit card late fees, but between credit card fees, the housing shortage, and even monopoly power in big industries like the airlines, just this week alone, the Biden administration has been doing things that they think are going to sit well from a consumer standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, we saw on Tuesday the Biden administration finalized a rule that will cap credit card late fees, the vast majority of them, at $8, which, you know, the typical average right now is $32. So that'll save tens of millions of Americans a lot of money. You know, for people, I've had a late fee before in my life. You know, that's for a lot of families in this country. You know, saving $24 might be the difference between an eviction and keeping your apartment. And so it doesn't sound like the biggest deal in the world, but it's a huge deal when you consider that they're also trying to, you know, remove non-compete clauses for workers. They're trying to eliminate convenience fees when you travel. They this week also, you know, JetBlue and Spirit announced their merger was off, which would have jacked up prices for, you know, sort of those lower fare routes that a lot of people rely on to get to see family for the holidays. They are suing, I think we talked about this the other week, you know, the Biden administration is suing to block the Kroger Albertsons merger, which would jack up prices for groceries, which would put those union workers at risk of losing their jobs in some cases and lead to the closure of grocery stores. So taken holistically, you know, they are doing genuinely incredible work on the anti-monopoly front, on the, you know, trying to address corporate greed with these little rinky-dink fees that really do add up. You know, it's a policy front that we have not seen in my lifetime, certainly, of the president and the federal government using their power to really try to target, like, the outrageous amount of power that corporations have accumulated.
Yeah. Now, coming back to, you know, women's reproductive health and, you know, couples' privacy and things like that, there has been some progress on an over-the-counter contraceptive pill.
Yes. So the first non-prescription birth control pill will be hitting shelves at pharmacies and retail stores later this month. And, you know, it's called Opill. It's a medication that has been available for quite a while. It's extremely effective in terms of, you know, preventing pregnancy. And it was approved for over-the-counter sales last year by the FDA. And so now it will be available without a prescription. And that, you know, is part of the Biden administration's effort to increase access to contraception. We know, again, Roe v. Wade was overturned by Supreme Court. We know dozens of Republican states are trying to ban abortion. And so as this battle for, you know, autonomy and reproductive freedom goes on, things like over-the-counter birth control become extremely important. And so this is a really big deal. You know, there are going to be efforts to, obviously, you know, it's not going to be the cheapest thing for everyone. A 1 month supply is $20, but that is still huge progress compared to where we were even a year ago.
Let's take a look at some of the things that you've been following around the states that are in the Courier Newsroom network. And I think none more alarming than what is happening in North Carolina and who Republican voters have put forward as their candidate for governor and, you know, the general slate of candidates. We've got a lot of things in Wisconsin mm-hmm. that raise eyebrows. But what we do not have is somebody who can be honestly described as a Holocaust denier, and that's what they have over there.
Yes. The Republican nominee in North Carolina is a guy by the name of Mark Robinson, who's the current lieutenant governor of the state. He has a grocery store full of controversial and offensive and anti-Semitic and homophobic and misogynistic, pretty much all of those things, remarks. He's called, you know, he's made some really offensive comments about people of the Jewish faith. He's, you know, cast doubt on the Holocaust in some ways. He calls climate change junk science. He's compared abortion to murder and slavery. He doesn't think kids in fifth grade should learn about history or science. It's utterly mind-boggling. And this is a man who could win. North Carolina is a swing state. You know, so it's not a guarantee. He might be too extreme, but he is one election away from being maybe the most conservative out there governor anywhere in the country.
And if that happens, if he's actually able to win a statewide election, I guess he goes into the 2028 discussion, because that's where a certain segment of our population sadly is. And now that's the top, but not far behind, we go over to our friends in Arizona, where the Democratic governor there, Katie Hobbs, has vetoed a bill that, would strike many people as abhorrent in terms of, you know, again, treating you know, undocumented immigrants like animals.
Yeah. So, you know, the Arizona has been turning purple shades of blue in recent years, but the Republican legislator there, despite this, continues to be among the most extreme in the country. They, you know, passed a bill that would have given local law enforcement complete authority to detain and arrest immigrants, you know, and effectively kind of do whatever they want without any real, you know, accountability. And it would have, you know, they could have basically, you know, there was concern that they could basically shoot them and not really have that be illegal or, you know, punishable. And so it also would have allowed them, it would have restricted aid for refugee and asylum seekers. It would have given local judges authority in immigration cases, effectively creating a constitutional showdown with the federal government. And, you know, it would be an extremely, you know, basically, if you're an undocumented immigrant working in Arizona, you know, on a construction site or, you know, selling food, street vending, a cop could come up to you for no reason, arrest you based on how you look, and maybe you're, you know, if you're speaking Spanish, and then go and put you in jail, and they could just hold you. And so this bill was vetoed by Governor Katie Hobbs, who's a Democrat. But it's terrifying that these sorts of bills are just passing in Republican-led legislators.
Yeah, because again, you know, there are just some voters that are putting people like this into office. They're voting for people like Republican Carrie Lake, who still insists she won the last campaign for governor. And, you know, she is very much in the mold of Donald Trump, and that includes the part of being a grifter.
Yeah. So Carrie Lake, who ran for governor in 2022, famously lost to Katie Hobbs, who we just mentioned. You know, she is a grifter is a great word for it. She has, you know, railed against the elite and the deep state and the wealthy and all these things. And, you know, she is just raking in speaking fees. She got over $75,000 at speaking at political events last year. That's more than the typical Arizona family median income is. You know, she is now running for Senate, and she is using some of her campaign donations to basically direct money to her husband and hers, like, video production company. So she has funneled over $8,000 in campaign, you know, money to this company that is owned by her and her husband. And, you know, that's unfortunately, you know, legal within our campaign finance system. But, it, you know, it is not ideal. You don't want someone, I don't want someone who is, you know, steering, you know, a, you know, maybe a supporter in rural Arizona's $20 donation to her already wealthy family. That feels wrong, but that's what's happening.
Although it does pale in comparison to how much campaign money Donald Trump has used for lawyers.
Pales
in comparison. And I mean, almost an afterthought in Arizona is that the Democrat turned so-called independent, Kyrsten Sinema, said this week she's out.
Yeah. You know, after just one term, she is going to leave the Senate. And, you know, Kyrsten Sinema has been an extremely controversial figure, both in Arizona and nationwide. She, you know, she's tried to craft this image of herself as a bipartisan deal maker, and with some, you know, to some extent that's true, but she's also refused to meet with constituents or a lot of the volunteers and activist groups who elected her. She famously has enjoyed, you know, kind of poking the eyes of people in Arizona and being pretty combative. And, you know, she became an independent and then really does not seem to have made any effort to actually try to persuade people to support her reelection campaign. So she's bowing out. You know, in all likelihood, she's going to go be a lobbyist somewhere. She has really done the work of representing, you know, some bank's interests over the past few years in watering down legislation. So, you know, she'll be fine. And, you know, the people of Arizona will have a choice between Carrie Lake and Ruben Gallego.
And again, we bring all this up just to say that here in Wisconsin, there's days we think we have drama, but, you know, other days we just look and go, huh? I'm glad some other states have it and we don't. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom National Correspondent. As always, we appreciate the update. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey, Joe Montana here. Back in my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia, a bacterial lung disease that can be life-threatening. If you're 65 or older, or 19 or older with certain chronic conditions like diabetes or asthma, you're at increased risk. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccination and learn more at knowpneumonia.com. That's knowpneumonia.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It seems unfair to put a side-by-side of me and Greg up as we're playing the beginning of Beavis and Butthead here up on the video screen. And Greg strikes the pose right away. Beavis and Butthead debuted on MTV on this day in 1993.
Wow.
There's a line at some point where you're like, this is cool. And then there's a point where you go, they're dumb.
This show is cool.
But you know what? They had the same curse, not curse, but the same misfortune as WKRP in Cincinnati, in that they couldn't do well in reruns because of the music licensing. The cost is immense.
A lot of MTV shows where they had the ability to just use that music they had for videos. Like there was a comedy troupe called The State, and they would use like the coolest, newest music in their sketches. And when they issued all those episodes on a DVD, they had to be like...
had to be scrubbed.
Scrubbed and like redone with like...
it's not the same.
I'm trying to think of the... like they're not... yeah, exactly. So you, yeah, it's just... it kind of... no thanks.
Ugh. So that was, again, this day in 1993. Wow, 31 years ago. Chicago radio station WLS had a weekly music survey that on this day in 1963 had at number 40 a brand new group on the charts. Some kids from Liverpool named the Beatles, and this was the song probably the first to play on a radio station in America. Come on. Also on this day in 2016, Beatles producer George Martin died at the age of 90. We mentioned earlier that Alan Hale Jr., best known as the skipper on Gilligan's Island, he had been born this day in 1921. Mickey Dolenz is 79 years old today, drummer from the Monkees.
My first concert.
Your first concert, really?
1986.
Wow. I would not have guessed the Monkees, nor in 1986. Yeah.
An unknown...
didn't know the Monkees were performing then.
They were on their 20th anniversary tour.
Oh, okay.
With an unknown musician named Weird Al Yankovic opening up.
Named who?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, Weird Al. Love Weird Al. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Mickey Dolenz, 79 today, the last surviving member of the Monkees. On this day in 1950, the Volkswagen began production of what would become the iconic VW bus. Iconic or, you know, judicially curious, depending on who was selling what out of the side at the time. Randy Meisner died last July at the age of 77. He'd been born this day in 1946, founding member and bass player for the Eagles. Arguably Randy Meisner's big song as a lead singer with the Eagles. A movie premiered this day in 1968 called Stay Away, Joe. It was the 26th movie starring Elvis Presley. And in it, he plays an indigenous American rodeo champion. I cannot imagine how that film did not have staying power. On this day in 1969, astronauts on Apollo 9 sang to celebrate the birthday of the director of NASA space operations at the time, making Happy Birthday the first song ever performed in outer space. The number one song this day in 1975 was by Olivia Newton-John. Of the most successful albums of the 1990s were released on this day in 1994. There was Super Unknown by Soundgarden and The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. They debuted at 1 and 2 on the album chart, respectively. And if you're saying, hey, Pat, then why don't you play something from the 90s from Soundgarden or Nine Inch Nails instead of Olivia Newton-John? Well, then clearly you have never met me or listened to this program very long to know that we're going to pick the song from 1975 every single time. That's that's just what Grandpa Radio is all about.
Grandpa Radio!
We need a jingle. A jingle was just born. We got to get that done. And why do we call it Grandpa Radio? Because Greg's about to laugh as I tell you in my best mature voice possible that on this day in 2003, 50 Cent topped the Billboard Hot 100 with his first single, In Da Club.
Go, 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 Grandpa. Grandpa Radio. I give you credit. You both pronounced the name of the song correctly and his name. A lot of people are like, I love 50 Cent.
No. And I didn't try to, you know, fake it by going with Fitty or anything like that. And on this day in 2014, in what is still one of the great mysteries of our lifetime, Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, carrying 239 souls, disappeared en route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. The fate of the flight remains unknown. And again, not to take anything away from the tragedy of everybody on that plane, but I'm saying it's just a reminder that for all of our scientific advances, all of our achievements, everything else, you think you know everything, but there's still room for mysteries in our lives. And going, I don't know. Don't know what happened to that thing. Don't know where it went down. Exactly. I love, there are some people that are just infatuated with it. One of my wife's favorite comedians, one of my favorite comedians, is Kathleen Madigan. She has a weekly podcast. She calls it the Pubcast. Been listening to it since day one during COVID. And her fascination with MH370 is just almost disturbing to a degree that she'll pick up any snippet of news trying to figure out what happened to that flight. Whereas I'm just like, well, you know what? When you find out, let me know. It's just a mystery. I don't know. Do you have theories on that?
No.
So it's, again, it just goes to show you, sometimes there are mysteries and sometimes there's things that people just don't really care about.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for the people who died and for their families, but I will not go into the deep abyss of conspiracy theories and or like, what happened?
What is it? This is International Women's Day, part of Women's Month. This is Middle Name Pride Day, said Patrick Jerome Kreitlow, son of Jerome Patrick Kreitlow.
Oh, my God.
So instead of my being Jerry Jr., it's Patrick Jerome.
Can I wish a happy birthday to my niece, Olive? Happy birthday. I did it anyways.
Happy birthday, Olive. National Peanut Cluster Day, National Preschoolers Day, National Retro Video Game Day. Let's talk about that in the next hour. And it is National Proofreading Day. National Proofreading Day.
Wow.
We should have done that. All right. We will cover more of the State of the Union Address. And
from the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Friday on Matt and Air On Air, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:33. 11:33, UW-Madison's David Drake says there's a whiff in the air with animals on the move. Don't miss it.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician,
Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A fired up President Biden talking about national security, reproductive rights, immigration, gender.